101.9 FM KVSH. This is the Morning Scramble with Jeff and Cindy Hoyt, and we welcome Robin Swycord to the studio, producer, writer, filmmaker, director. You're doing it all now.
I know, and I'm staying on Vacheron quite a bit.
Yeah. So you have been, you've been able to, despite all this this hubbub around Wakefield, you're finding time to be on the island.
So far, we've been here twice this year, mm-hmm. which doesn't seem like probably a lot, but we go for big chunks.
Yeah, that's great.
And it's only 4 months old this year.
Yeah, it's true.
And Wakefield will, of course, be premiering tomorrow night around the nation on the 19th, I believe. Is that the...
Yes, on the 19th, it opens in New York City, mm-hmm. and then the next week, it starts opening out to about 10 other cities, and the following week, about another 10 cities, and we'll keep rolling out like that for about the next 6 weeks.
And we had our sneak preview here on Vashon just a couple of weeks ago. Robin has adapted a number of works, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. You wrote the screenplay for Little Women, Memoirs of a Geisha, Matilda, the Jane Austen Book Club. Wakefield is a, as I understand it, is a, an adaptation of a 2008 short story by E.L. Doctorow.
Mm-hmm.
But that's based on an 1835 book by Nathaniel Hawthorne. So this is like an adaptation of an adaptation.
Yeah.
Is that done very often in Hollywood? Does
you know, this movie was made outside of quote-unquote Hollywood in a sense because uh-huh. it's an independently financed
right.
film.
Mm-hmm.
The short story that Nathaniel Hawthorne wrote has actually been adapted by a lot of literary authors because inside that short story, at the very beginning, like paragraph two or three, he makes an invitation that you can follow along with him or you can go off and write your own version of the story. And so many authors have.
Mm-hmm.
He crowdsourced it.
He crowdsourced it over the many years. And then the, you know, I had seen another one, I don't know when, a long time ago, I had come across something about it. But when I saw Doctorow's short story in The New Yorker, I really hooked into it.
Well, I would think it would be very difficult to adapt a novel to the screen, which is what you do. I mean, I've kind of paid attention over the years because we're both movie buffs, and I'm in particular, I go way back in my buffdom to
nice.
The 30s and 40s and 50s, and so of course I'm a Dalton Trumbo fan, and
yes,
I just rewatched Exodus a couple of weeks ago, and of course that one, Leon Uris wrote the novel. And at first, he was also going to be writing the movie, too. But Otto Preminger, the producer-director, was just like, he looked at the script and said, this guy is a novel writer. He's not a screenplay writer.
Right.
And so actually got Trumbo to do it while he was still blacklisted. So is it, how do you do it? How do you look at a piece and... Do you cherry pick the action scenes, or which in some cases may be just fraught conversations?
Yeah. Well, you know, this is such a great question, and I actually teach on this, so try to stop me if I go overboard with this. But dramatists and novelists are quite different. Screenwriters are dramatists, and so we're much more concerned with a protagonist's journey, and in looking at things in terms of three acts and in looking at the elements of drama as well, which are things like revelation, contemplation, transformation, desire, suffering, sacrifice. And so one of the things you do when you are thinking about breaking down a book is that you get to know it terribly well. And you do that by more or less making a praxis of the novel for yourself page by page. So you deeply understand it. You're under the skin of the novel. And then from there, yes, you cherry pick. You select those episodes that tell the dramatic story that is embedded in the novel.
Hmm. Why do you think it is difficult for novelists themselves to take on the challenge of adapting their own book to a screenplay?
I think it's a different mindset. It's a beautiful mindset. I'm mm-hmm. a great reader, and that's the first thing that an adapter has to be, is a great reader. So I think that novelists are thinking a lot about their ideas, about the internal life of the characters, which is hard to depict. Although in Wakefield, one of the challenges is that I wanted to set out to do a film that revealed the inner life of a protagonist. So I think that that mindset of being sort of enveloped in the sense of all the ideas contained in the novel is something that screenwriters are not as burdened with. You find the thematic core and you go with that, and you're not exploring a ton of other ideas.
Well, I'm sure you've seen the movie Adaptation, the
yes.
Nicolas Cage movie. And I wondered what you thought about that, because he was playing a screenwriter.
Mm-hmm.
Who was trying to adapt a book that didn't, shall we say, have much of a pace, and about this rare white orchid in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just butting his head up against the wall until he starts working with his twin brother, who's completely about action-adventure movies. And mm-hmm. suddenly, the orchid can be distilled into a drug, and there are people with guns fighting over the territory mm-hmm. of the orchid. And is that something that you think happens a lot? Are a lot of movie makers worried that they'll lose an audience if it's too cerebral?
I don't think that I've never worried about that. I can't speak for other people. I think Charlie Kaufman was an interesting choice. He's never really adapted. He is a really original thinker. He's a screenwriter I admire tremendously. And I had also read that book that he was adapting. And I couldn't imagine anyone making a movie out of it. And yet, I think it was Sony Pictures bought that and decided that they would do it. I hope I don't have the studio wrong, but I believe it was Sony. And everybody was sort of wondering, like, wow, and then you chose Charlie Kaufman. That's interesting, you know. So he just made the most wonderful screenplay. But it wasn't really a true adaptation of the book. It was a kind of, he took the book as a kind of place to leap off into his wonderful imagination. So I think that that was a very smart way to handle that adaptation, actually.
I agree. It was a great movie and a great peek.
Mm-hmm.
Most screen adaptations from novels have to kind of zero into the heart of the matter, like you say, and set aside so much of the rest of the story simply because mm-hmm. it's 2 hours and the book is much longer.
And we've all seen unsuccessful attempts like Dune.
Mm-hmm. The
adapting a short story means, you know, going the opposite direction and expanding the tale. So I was
That's
wondering
right.
which you found to be more challenging.
I think they both have their challenges. When I adapted Memoirs of a Geisha, one of the hardest things for me was leaving all that treasure behind. If that were going to be made today, I believe in this age of golden TV, mm-hmm. the renaissance of television, that it would be on television and it would be in many parts and mm-hmm. we would get all of that rich story that Arthur Golden gave us. So that was a case of having to really find the slender spine inside that book and try to be faithful to the tone and to what Arthur Golden was telling us about this character, but not being able to depict everything that was in her life. So for me, with Wakefield, it was a different experience completely, challenging in a different way, except I didn't feel it in the same kind of technical challenge that you feel, because when you're adapting something that is as big as Memoirs of a Geisha, this wasn't so much of a technical challenge as a kind of inner challenge for me. It's very difficult to make a movie about a man who is by himself and to hold the audience for that duration. And that was what I set out to do.
When he's not in a sailboat.
Yeah, when he's even in the sailboat, there was a lot of action coming in from the outside. It was a person who was a man against the elements kind
exactly.
of story. And in this case, this is a man against himself. And it was a challenge to do that. And I was working with a living author. E.L. Doctor at that time was still alive. He'd given me permission to do his short story as a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the ideas that I had, I wouldn't say that they were contrary to his ideas. They just weren't things that he had been thinking about when he wrote the short story. And so as I would come to him and say, this is what I'm thinking about, this is what your story sparked for me, he was really open to it. But I was also worried at times, like, at what point is he going to say, that's enough embroidering on top of my short story?
But turning a short story into a feature film, there's going to have to be some heavy embroidery.
Well, yes, I think so. And also you just want to explore more deeply. I mean, he could have written Wakefield as a novel, is how I felt. He could have done all that kind of thinking about that I did, but he didn't want to. He was answering Nathaniel Hawthorne and writing something of roughly the same length.
I think there's a general fascination with the idea of being present at your own wake or watching the aftermath of your own death to see how people would react in your absence. What pulled you into this story? Was it that aspect of the story, or talk about that a little bit?
I think that it's a common fantasy, not just to be present and see what people, how life goes on without you, but it's also the sense of wanting to step out into a kind of interstitial space where you don't have any responsibilities and you can just be who you are when you are yourself alone. And I was pulled toward the idea of a person who had not really lived his life thoughtfully, who did not have a huge inner life, or whether his inner life was taken up with the imaginary conflicts of jealousy and so forth. And I just wanted to see what would happen with this man if I put him by himself and sent him out on a journey to find out, to wake, you know, to be into the field of awakening.
Well, Bryan Cranston could not have been a better choice. Haven't seen the movie yet, but I already know that this is a man who is capable as an actor of revealing so much of his inner life just in his face.
Yes.
We saw him at a book event on his, you know, he just released his memoir.
Mm-hmm.
It was at Benaroya a couple of months ago, and he was talking a lot about his relationship with Vince Gilligan on Breaking Bad,
right,
and how transformational that whole experience was for him. And that whole Walter White character was very much a tortured inner soul. Mm-hmm. But I got a real sense from the book and from from what he was saying on stage that he's really a director's actor, that he's a real collaborator in a sense. Did you have that experience with him?
Yes. I mean, first of all, he is the most menschy guy. He is a person who goes through the world doing kindnesses for others. And every time I meet someone new that knows Bryan Cranston, they tell me about another story of his that illustrates an act of generosity. So he is a very generous actor with directors and with other actors. And one way that he shows that generosity is that he's very playful. He gives you a lot. And then from that wonderful stew of things that he's doing, in the editing room, you can select this tone or that tone, more of this or a little of that. So that is, you know, that's such a gift. It's not someone who's rigidly following his own program no matter what. He's inviting you in. He's also very generous with his time at the beginning. We went through the script page by page, line by line, thought by thought, until he really understood what it was that I had reached for as a screenwriter. And he then began to give me his ideas on top of that, which were they only enriched what we were doing. There are at least 10 lines that he supplied that are in the story, which he mm-hmm. supplied in improvisation. He didn't tell me ahead of time, I'm going to be improvising here. But as you can see, this kind of movie, when you see it, you'll see that it's the kind of thing that gives itself to improvisation. That there are places where obviously a man alone can just continue talking if he wants to. And there are wonderful things that he found because he was so far inside the character.
Well, he did a couple of scenes in Breaking Bad that were incredibly emotional for him. I'm not an actor, so I don't know how actors do this, but they have to pull out some aspect of their own experience to go there into this moment. And one of them was where he had to watch a young woman die, where he could have intervened and chose not to. Mm. And so he imagined that she was his daughter. And at the end of the scene, he could not work any longer. it was the end of the day. I mean, it was early in the day, but they did that scene and he was shot. He was so emotionally spent. Did you have moments like that in this? Because I would think that this is an emotional movie as well, where just the toll of a scene might just cause you to say, okay, let's take a nice long break here.
Well, I can certainly see in that situation why the director would say that's enough for today, because actors are not puppets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they feel things at a very deep level and they haven't blocked it, unlike the rest of us. They really, what they say, go there. They really go to all of that. And they can't necessarily bounce back like a rubber ball and go on to the next scene. You have to be respectful of them. In this case, I think that there were a lot of things that were hard about making Wakefield for Brian. One of them was that his father abandoned his family.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the reasons he wanted to come do this is because he's really an actor. And with actors, the instruction in acting classes go toward the thing that scares you. So he came toward the movie that he needed to make. The other aspect that was difficult for him was the pace, that we were shooting this movie in 20 days. And he would have to go in and out of different kinds of makeup and his tender skin. Mm-hmm. So in and out of these beards, it would be glued on and then use the solvent to get off. And there was a lot of recovery just from the strenuousness of getting in and out of these different looks, as we had to do different stuff seasonally, you know, that he had to. We were compressing seasons into one day, and he had to be different ages during the same day and so forth. It was very rough on him physically, and we had so little sleep. And he was also drinking a liquid diet so that he could be skinny for the latter part of the film after he's been away from his family and foraging for himself. So it was physically strenuous and emotionally strenuous, and he was there in such a professional way every single day. Never lost his temper, unfailingly kind to the people around him.
Wow.
This is how they earn the big bucks.
Yeah, except he was earning nothing on Wakefield. This was all an act of love from everyone.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That makes
this
it
movie
even
was
more
made
amazing.
For $3.7 million, which in a world in which movies today are made for $100 million.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, 3.7 is pretty much chump change in today's world.
That's what falls out of people's pockets when they sit down on their studio couch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, now, not only I'm a writer myself, and not only the actor has to go there, the writer, when they're putting together, whether it's a novel or a screenplay or even a very intense short story, in order for readers and later on viewers to experience what their protagonist is experiencing, the writer has to go there, sitting right there in front of their computer, getting no feedback from anybody.
Right.
How do you do that?
Well, you've brought up something interesting that I don't think a lot of people know about who are not actually writing, you know, at home. And that is that writing and acting are very closely aligned. They say sometimes for screenwriters, tears on the page is tears on the stage. That is true. You do have to feel everything. And if you're writing and not feeling it, if you're writing mechanically from the outside, what you're writing is usually kind of placeholders for the scene that you should be writing. Everyone has those days where you're just exhausted from your own life away from the desk, and you don't write well that day, and you know it, but then you have to come back on another day and try again.
And they leave it on the stage, you leave it on the page.
Yeah, that's right.
We're visiting with Robin Swycord, who is the writer-director on Wakefield, which makes its national premiere tomorrow night in theaters around the country. And Seattle is going to be a little later on the list because of a shortage of theaters. What did you say?
Well, right. Guardians of the Galaxy is out.
Yeah, there's no room for...
This is not the sort of movie that plays in the theaters that play Guardians of the Galaxies, but apparently there is a theater, and I don't know the name of the theater, that's renovating right now, and so there's a slight shortage of screens for art house movies. But there are some art house, you know, they have assured me at IFC, who's the distribution company, that this will play in Seattle and it will play this summer.
Yeah.
It's also going to be streaming shortly after May 26th in limited markets. It's going to be starting to stream on some premium cable And then I think Showtime will have it next
January. That's a new form of release.
It's great. It's wonderful. I have family all over the United States who live in places that don't have art house theaters. My brother lives in Birmingham. There's no art house theater there. He wasn't really a film buff until Netflix came along. And now that they're streaming, I can say, gosh, I just saw the most amazing movie that came out of Jordan. And he can find it then and stream it to his house. So I think it's a boon for cinephiles everywhere.
Earlier, you mentioned this new golden age of television that we're experiencing. And television has become absolutely fascinating. And I was wondering if that is a form that that interests you. You've mostly worked on films, but the opportunity to serialize a story, come up with a cliffhanger, move on to the next episode, does that interest you at all?
Yes, I've actually written a number of pilots. None of them have been made into TV series, so that's why it looks like I don't have a career in TV, and I don't have a career in TV yet. But I do have things that I'm working on right now for HBO.
Oh, excellent. Okay, so now is this your second time directing?
Yes, second feature.
What was the first
film? Director, the Jane Austen Book Club.
Okay, that was the first film
you directed. Oh, you directed that one too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, now you're getting a real taste of that thing. Is that where you want to go down the road? Is that
Would you rather get some sleep?
I love directing. I wanted to direct for a long time. There's a lot of bias that women face in the film business, creative women face. And so it's been hard to make my way there. It took me a very long time to get my first feature as a director. It should have happened much sooner for me. And then it also took a while between the Jane Austen Book Club and this one. I had projects that I wrote to direct that didn't get made. Sundance has actually created a program now to help women who have made one feature get their second feature financed, because there has to be a way to break through the bias that we face. And the Sundance and Film Independent have been right there.
Excellent.
You came along at a good time then.
Fortunately, yes.
So,
For you, it might seem late.
How about Vashon? Are you going to be able to get out here? I mean, there's all the hubbub around the film. When are you going to be able to get back?
I was just trying to figure that out last night, because we were just invited to the Edinburgh Festival in Scotland, which is the first week of July.
I think you need to go to that.
I'll probably go. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the one of the things about independent movies is you have to go out as a filmmaker and support them later. So I will be doing that. I'm also going to Münchenfest, which is going to be the German rollout of the film, which will be in mid-June. So I think I'm not going to get to settle down for my summer until I'm in July. But then maybe I'll get to stay a little longer this year, I hope.
Okay. Well, could you come back and visit with us in July then, when you get back, just to tell us what the whole whirlwind has been like?
I will. Yeah. I definitely will.
Okay. Robin Swycord, writer-director on Wakefield and many other films. The premiere is tomorrow night, and we're so excited and appreciative that you were able to bring the film to Vashon for our little sneak preview, under-the-table viewing of the advance of the film.
Oh, I'm so happy that Vashon gets to see it first.
Thanks so much for visiting
with
us.
Thank you.